Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
There was one year where it was our first year in New York and we didn't know anybody. We went through the building and invited everyone. Everyone was sitting on the floor, in the windowsills. It was at least 30 people. We cooked a turkey in a toaster oven. And it was the best Thanksgiving ever.
Wait, how do you
ever.
Cook a turkey in a toaster oven?
Cut it up in parts. One leg at a time.
Alrighty, dear listeners, we've reached that part of the meal that for a lot of us is the centerpiece of the Thanksgiving spread, the bird. So to tackle such a monumental dish, we have brought in one of the culinary world's true rising stars, chef and writer Sola El Waley. Now, you may have seen some of her very popular YouTube videos on a variety of channels, including New York Times Cooking. She's also got a new show on History titled Ancient Recipes with Sola. And today, I'm thrilled she's joining us on Cooking Up a Storm to share her thoughts on how to select your Thanksgiving bird and walk us through her recipes for crisp and juicy herb-roasted turkey and honey thyme gravy. I'm Al Roker. This is Cooking Up a Storm.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Sola, nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to our kitchen. So I'm really excited about this because I'm a big fan of the spatchcock chicken. Mm-hmm. Which is not easy to say, actually.
But it's easy to do.
It's easy to do. I like that. So we are so used to the Norman Rockwell presentation of the turkey. And I must admit, with what you're doing, you can't do the in-bird stuffing.
No, but it's going to taste better. It's going to be worth it once it's on your plate.
It's worth it.
It's worth it, yeah.
Okay, so we're doing this spatchcocking, and you are dry brining the turkey.
Very important.
Now, why is that important?
Okay, so I feel like a few years ago, everyone was wet brining, where you like mix.
You got a big tub.
You got to get a big tub, plunge your turkey in there. It's a mess. It takes up a lot of room.
Who needs
but
that?
It also makes your turkey watery.
Oh.
And like kind of dilutes
soggy.
The flavor. Soggy, moist in the worst way.
Oh.
So by dry brining, what you're doing is, it sounds a lot more complicated than it is. You're just going to sprinkle salt and whatever else you want on there. And then what happens is, as it sits in the fridge, the salt on the surface of the turkey is going to dissolve. And it creates a really concentrated brine with just the salt and the turkey juices that then gets sucked into the turkey. Mm-hmm. And then it does three really cool things. First, obviously, it's going to season it and make it delicious.
Right.
But it also breaks down some of those muscle fibers, creating a bit of a gel. So it's
a little more tender?
It's really tender, really juicy, and there's less worry about overcooking it. It's just going to be a bit more forgiving.
Okay.
And then I think the best part about the dry brine is it's going to dry out the surface of the skin and break down the fat, so you get really crispy skin.
Crispy. Ooh. For this recipe, the essentials are pretty simple and customizable. We're going to need a 12 to 14 pound turkey. Woody herbs, think sage, rosemary, and thyme. Sorry, parsley, no can do. And the rest is probably in your kitchen already. For the full recipe, check the show notes or go to today.com/food. All right. So how do we start? How do we start to prep this?
Okay. So first the dry brine. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping it really, really simple.
Okay.
It's just salt, a little bit of sugar that helps with the browning.
Okay.
And a touch of MSG.
Now, the MSG. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah. MSG. What's the deal with the MSG?
Okay. So I know MSG has like a bad rap because, should we go into the full story?
Sure.
Okay, so there was this guy, a biochemist, who was having a little bit of dashi, and he was like, this is really tasty, what's going on? So he wanted to know what made it so tasty, and it turns out it was the MSG that's found in the kelp.
Uh-huh.
So he synthesized it from the kelp, and it got really popular. But then there was one letter that one guy wrote to New England Journal of Medicine about how he got some headaches from it. And then it kind of blew up and everyone started saying MSG was bad. But there have been multiple studies since then that have not proved anything wrong.
So there's nothing wrong.
If you have a half a cup of it on an empty stomach, you'll feel sick.
Well, but who's doing that? But if you wanted it, you could leave the MSG out.
You could leave it out, but it just helps make the turkey taste more like turkey.
Okay.
Which I think is, you know.
That's a good thing.
We want our turkey to taste like turkey.
I mean, please.
But you can add spices to this. I like to keep it simple because especially if you're doing like a potluck and you have a bunch of friends coming over and you don't know what they're bringing, I think it's good for the turkey to just be really simple. But you could add up to 6 tablespoons of spices to there if you want to get crazy. You could do a little garlic powder, maybe a little paprika, cumin, maybe go for like a barbecue turkey.
Oh, yeah, maybe like a smoked paprika?
Yeah, a smoked paprika.
Oh, very
that
nice.
Sounds good. Or do like garam masala for like Indian turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so we're done whisking together our salt, sugar, and MSG if you want. Now it's time to spatchcock the bird, which basically means taking out the backbone so we can flatten that turkey. So now you're going to show us how to spatchcock this.
Yeah, okay. So we've got like a 12 to 14 pound turkey. I think you don't want to get bigger than that because that's when it starts to cook really unevenly. So if you have a lot of people, make 2 turkeys.
Okay.
Yeah. So spatchcock, super easy. We're going to flip this over.
Okay.
Boom. And we're going to cut out the backbone. And then we can open it up and kind of like butterfly it. So I'm just going to use kitchen shears.
All right.
And we're going to do a little snippety. Yeah. Once you get in there, it's pretty easy. You can also do it with a really sharp knife, but I think that that feels a little bit more dangerous to me. But nowadays, spatchcock is so popular that I've seen it sold already spatchcock.
Oh, pre-spatched.
Pre-spatched.
You want me to give it a try?
You want to go for it? All right. We're 2 ribs away.
Well, this is really tough right here.
Great sound effects, though. I feel like you need a trigger warning for the podcast. When we get to the cracking sounds. You did it!
I need a napkin! I need a towel!
What's the one mistake when it comes to the turkey that we make?
I think cooking it whole and putting stuffing in it, trying to get that picture-perfect turkey. The stuffing dries it out because all of that flavorful turkey juice just gets absorbed into the stuffing. And then when you cook it whole, it doesn't cook as evenly. When you flatten out your turkey and spatchcock it, what happens is the legs end up getting more heat because they're on the outside of the pan. So they end up cooking a little bit longer. They get tender, more rendered, and we can protect the delicate breast meat. When you cook your turkey whole, the breast is getting all of the heat.
Yeah.
And it gets dried out. It's up high. It's getting all that attention and it should be like a little bit protected, you know? Okay, so now we're going to flip it over.
Okay.
So now the turkey's on its back.
So some people like to remove these wingtips, but I don't bother because that was already a journey, right?
Right.
Okay, so now I'm going to get on top and just flatten the breast so we get it nice and flat. Mm-hmm. And now, very important, we're going to pat the turkey dry with a paper towel. Take your time with this part. Anytime I roast any meat, if you want brown... Brown is delicious. It's the most important flavor.
That's it.
You got to take your time. So once we get the turkey patted dry, I'm going to pat the cutting board dry because I don't want to lose a bunch of dry brine to the board.
Okay.
Because it's going to stick to whatever's wet.
Oh.
And then we're going to get sprinkling on every inch of this turkey. All over. Inside. Outside. Get every single bit. Rain it on. We're going to use all of this. I know it looks like a lot of salt, but you need it. It's a very big bird. So some of it's going to fall off. You want to pick it up, get it back on there.
After you've covered every single nook and cranny of your turkey with your dry brine, we're going to place it on a wire rack on a sheet tray layered with a bed of woody herbs.
The woody herbs I have here today are some thyme, rosemary, sage, whatever you've got.
I went to school with a guy named Woody Herbs.
This is a good name.
It is. Yeah. I like the name. I do.
So you can get crazy. You can put garlic under there, onion, lemon, but I like to keep it real simple so that the sides can kind of shine.
Okay.
And this is going to hang out in the fridge, uncovered.
Uncovered.
Uncovered. Skin side up.
Breast side up.
Breast side up.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours minimum, but like ideally 48.
Could you go 72?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I
you have.
I wouldn't do it for a chicken because it kind of just turns into like a deli meat almost.
Ooh.
It like cures a little bit. It's not going to be bad. It's just going to be a little weird. But for turkey, it's so big, it can take it. Initially, it's going to get really wet because the salt's going to...
Draw out the moisture.
That's the first stage. And then if you let it just keep sitting, it's going to once again like get really nice and dry once that salt and moisture gets reabsorbed. This is like a great technique for anything. You want to do like a big brisket,
right.
Short rib, lamb leg.
So it obviously, if you are planning ahead for Thanksgiving and you've got a frozen bird, you've got to plan way ahead.
Way ahead. Get that bird defrosting a week before Thanksgiving.
You know, maybe start right after Halloween.
Or maybe right after listening to this podcast.
Coming up, Sola shares her tips on how to pick a turkey right after the break.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a bit of a turkey snob? Do you have to have a fresh turkey as opposed to a frozen turkey?
I think that it's important. Like, the quality of the turkey you start with is really important. So I try to get a heritage breed.
Mm-hmm.
But those turkeys are pricey. So just
yes.
Get what works within your budget.
Right. At Thanksgiving, it's more about the sides than it is, in a
Definitely.
Sense, the turkey. So
yeah.
You don't need a lot of turkey.
I feel like a lot of times the turkey ends up being the most disappointing thing on the table. You know those turkeys that have like the thermometer in it that
yeah.
pops?
Yeah, the pop-up thing.
Those are a lie.
They are.
They only pop at like when the turkey is so overcooked, it's like cardboard.
Ah.
Don't waste your time with that.
For you growing up solo, what was Thanksgiving? What were your Thanksgiving memories?
Thanksgiving's my favorite day of the year.
Is it?
Like, I love Thanksgiving. Yeah. My family is Muslim, so we didn't grow up celebrating Easter or Christmas or New Year's, even because my parents also worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving was the one thing that we did that other people did that made me feel like I fit in. When you're a kid, that's all you want.
Yeah.
So I loved it. When my parents first came to America, my mom worked at a factory, and one of her coworkers really helped us learn about American cuisine. So she would have my mom over and they would just like cook together. So one Thanksgiving, they cooked the whole meal together. Fully like super traditional, classic American stuff, like the box stuffing, the gelatin pudding pie. Everything was like from a box, but it was delicious. And oh, I loved the green bean casserole with the soup from the can.
Oh yeah, and the French fried onions.
The French fried onion, yeah. We did all the classics and that was the meal that we had almost every single year. I loved it because I loved feeling like everyone in the country was doing the same thing.
It was a shared experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's a non-denominational holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And this country's got so many different cultures and religions. We're not usually celebrating all together. So I just love that we're all celebrating together. That's like why I love Thanksgiving.
Your favorite dish growing up for Thanksgiving?
100% stuffing from the box.
Ah.
I love it. It's perfect. And when I make stuffing now, I try to make it taste like stuffing from a box.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Like I'll get like fancy bread from the farmer's market,
uh-huh.
but then I'll cut it up into tiny cubes and season it up to taste just like the box one. It's like high-low, that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Next, let's hop on that gravy train or gravy boat.
Okay, so gravy.
Gravy.
A lot of people make the gravy with the drippings.
Yes.
But I actually don't because there's a lot of people around the house. There's
right.
so many things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Gravy is an easy thing to get done like a couple days before. If you want to be extra, take that backbone.
Mm-hmm.
you're not
oh,
afraid.
You didn't mean take it.
Sorry now.
Oh, sorry. You said take that backbone. I'm a very literal person.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
What you can do is take that backbone,
uh-huh.
roast it up in some fat,
uh-huh.
maybe roast up your giblets,
mm-hmm.
and then cook that with some broth and a bunch of veggies to make it really, really flavorful, which
okay.
is what we've done already.
Right.
So this is a broth that's like amped up. So then once we have your broth, we're going to make our gravy. Gravy keeps. Nothing bad is going to happen to this if you make it a few days early. So just
really?
Go for it.
Okay. In a medium saucepan or Dutch oven, melt 3 tablespoons of butter and get 1/4 cup of flour at the ready.
We're going to make a really simple roux to thicken up our gravy. So we're going to melt our butter until it's nice and foamy, and then I'm going to add some flour. You want to wait until it gets foamy because then the butter is hot enough to like evenly absorb the flour and you don't have any lumps. If you make lumps early,
yes.
You're going to have lumps.
Lumps are forever.
Yeah, okay, so we got foamage, so now my flour is getting in.
We had foamage.
And we just want this to get, like, it's going to get foamy again and blonde. You don't want to overcook the roux at this point.
Isn't that a Clairol hair color?
Foamy and blonde? The what is this? Panatone color of the year?
That's right.
Foamy and blonde. Now, if you overcook this, it's just going to make it kind of reduces the thickening power of the flour. But it'll give it a deep flavor. So if you want that roasty, toasty flavor, you're going to need a little bit more flour.
Whisk the flour and butter together for about 2 minutes. It should have a nice, nutty smell.
But this is really it. That's it? That's as far as you need to take
it. Okay. Grab a quart of that souped-up broth you made earlier. We're going to add it to the roux. Slowly.
And now we're going to add our broth a splash at a time to make sure you're lump-free. So you see, it's going pretty smoothly.
It really is.
Once you add about like half of it, then you can just dump it in. And then once you add all of this liquid, you need to make sure it simmers for a few minutes to lose that raw, floury taste. Otherwise, it's going to be a little weird and starchy.
Simmer. Whisk occasionally until thickened and no raw flour taste remains. That should take about 5 minutes.
The starchiness is gone. It's nice and thick. And now we're going to season it up. I'm going to keep it really simple. A little bit of thyme.
Okay.
A little black pepper. We're going to add salt to taste. Now, if you're using like a store-bought broth, it probably has a good bit of salt. So make sure you taste it before you get crazy because it might be good. Now, everything here has been pretty simple. We just got like salt, herbs, but you can like get crazy here if you want. You could add some, I don't know, chipotle peppers. Make a spicy gravy to go with your Southwestern barbecue turkey.
Very nice. You can add your own palette. You can add your colors that you want. Oh, fan of the giblet? Well, you can lightly brown them in a skillet and use that flavor for your gravy. And you can do the same thing with the backbone.
Okay, and then I like a touch.
Wow, honey.
Of honey.
That's crazy.
Well, I think that I love a little bit of sweetness on the Thanksgiving table because I grew up with the cranberry sauce from the can. So this kind of gives me that sweetness in a different way.
How did you come across the idea of putting honey into your gravy?
Well, on my kitchen counter, like my core spices are salt, sugar, MSG, pepper, and honey.
Right.
The honey gives it a nice body. Honey has like a little bit of natural acidity, so it kind of perks things up. And there's that sweetness. But you saw, I didn't go overboard. It's just like a couple of teaspoons, and it really just mellows out all the flavors. Sugar is really important in savory food, the same way you add a pinch of salt to dessert. It just helps everything like liven up. You gotta have balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the big day, finally here. Your guests have started showing up. Your spatchcocked dry brine turkey has been in the fridge for 24 to 48 hours, and you are aching to get bacon. But before we pop it in the oven, we should let it come to room temperature.
Well, you could just put it in the oven, but I think it comes out so much better if you let it come to room temperature before you roast it.
Because it doesn't have to fight, the oven doesn't have to fight the coldness.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like shocked.
Right.
So I like to let it sit for like 3 hours.
Okay.
But then the great news is because it's spatchcocked and dry brined, we're going to cook it on high heat, 425, and it only takes like 90 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Game changer.
I know. Instead of having your oven locked up with a turkey for like 4 hours, you can have time to make your casseroles and your pies and all that. And this just goes in right before you eat.
Crazy.
I just changed the game.
You have. Mind blown. All right. So this is in there. And while this is in there.
Well, before it goes in there.
Oh, before it goes in there.
There's one more step.
One more thing.
So we want to brush it with a little bit of fat to help get that crispy skin.
Gotcha.
I like to use ghee, which is butter that has had the milk solid.
So clarified butter.
Clarified butter. Okay. Yeah. So it's going to give us all the flavor of butter, but it has a higher smoke point, so it's going to get really crispy as if we were using oil.
Wow. Once you've brushed your turkey with your fat of choice, pour 1.5 cups of water into the sheet tray and roast that baby at 425 degrees, rotating occasionally until the skin is a deep golden brown.
Grab your instant read thermometer to find out if it's ready. The deepest part of the breast should be at least 150 degrees. Thighs, at least 165. That should take about 90 minutes. That's it! Just 90 minutes! Oh, and if the skin's getting too dark too quickly, reduce the heat to 375. When we come back, it's turkey time!
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
And we're back. Turkey's out of the oven, and after all it's been through, it deserves a rest, as do you. We're going to put it on the counter and leave it there for about 20 minutes uncovered.
Because if you cover it, it's going to get steamy and you're going to lose that crispy skin. But it's okay for like 40 minutes if you have other things you need to do. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I was going to say, now, by spatchconking it, is it easier to carve?
Because
a lot of people have, including myself, have butchered a good turkey.
No, I mean, I have too. I feel like you would see people carving the slices of the breast right off the turkey.
Yes.
That makes it so hard. It's easier just remove the whole breast and then work with the pieces on your cutting board. So you're going to take, when your turkey is like out of the oven, mm-hmm. take it to your guests, let them revel in the glory. Bring it back.
Behold. We have spatchcocked this for you.
Yeah. And then bring it back into the kitchen and we're going to carve. Mm-hmm. Now, carving's not so hard. Just start with the pieces that are the most in the way. I'm going to get rid of these wings. We're not actually cutting through any bones, so the turkey's so nice and tender. We're just really easily...
Look at that.
It's like butter.
Just like that.
We're just coming right through the joints. Let's see. Let's get rid of this leg. I'm barely using
it.
Barely.
I mean, you touched it, it disappears.
And then look at how juicy and moist it is, right? All it took was a little bit of time in the oven. You didn't even have to do anything. So the leg immediately just beautifully came off, right?
That's amazing.
Just make the turkey work for you. You don't even have to know what you're doing here. You can just rip off the pieces.
The one thing I think maybe happens especially here, because a lot of people come to live here in New York from all over the country and sometimes can't get back home, and especially in this last, pandemic mm-hmm. season. In a sense, that, quote, orphan Thanksgiving to you?
Oh, okay. So orphan Thanksgiving is like my favorite thing because my husband and I worked in restaurants for up until like the pandemic, mm-hmm. really. So we usually had to work the day before and the day after and we couldn't go home. And that's kind of the situation with a lot of cooks. So we would, instead of celebrating with family, we would just invite everyone over who doesn't have anywhere to go. There was one year where it was our first year in New York and we didn't know anybody. We invited everyone. We invited like the bartender, the dishwasher, people whose names we didn't even know. Everyone showed up. Our apartment was the size of the bathroom in the green room that I was in. Everyone was sitting on the floor, in the windowsills. It was at least 30 people. We cooked a turkey in a toaster oven. And it was the best Thanksgiving.
Wait, how do you
ever.
Cook a turkey in a toaster oven?
Cut it up in parts.
Wow.
One leg at a time.
Once the bird is carved to your satisfaction, time to dig in.
I'm going to go in for the dark meat.
That's what I'm doing.
That's my move. That's my favorite bit.
That's your jam.
That's my jam. A little bit of skin, a little bit of giblet.
Whoa.
All of the best bits.
I cannot, I've never tasted anything like this. This is so good.
It just tastes like turkey, though. Very good turkey.
It's almost like I didn't know what turkey was until this. Wow.
It looked like so much salt, but it just tastes seasoned. It doesn't taste salty.
And I'm going to be honest, not a big fan of gravy generally. I've never been a big fan of the gravy. But this, it's like this, a little sweetness, a little savory, and my gosh, that's to give thanks for. Dry brine, baby.
Yeah. I think even if you're just a couple of people, make a turkey and eat it all week.
Words to live by. I must tell you, this recipe is a revelation to me. It's tender, it's crisp, it's flavorful. You've actually, after having tasted this, and I've been a huge proponent, I like stuffing, and probably you've now explained why I like stuffing in the turkey, because it absorbs all the flavor of the turkey.
You can make a really tasty stuffing on the side if you get some really good bone broth and just like add it to your stuffing mix. It's going to taste like it was cooked in a turkey. You can have it all. And we can all have it all, at least one day a year.
So that begs the question, leftovers, what's your go-to recipe for leftovers?
My favorite thing is the next day for breakfast, I make the sandwich. Mm-hmm. We all know the sandwich, all of the leftovers between two slices of bread. But then after that, one of my favorite things is, so I told you, I always make my gravy in advance. Mm-hmm. So I'll save those drippings from the turkey for the next day and then fry up the leftover turkey in that turkey fat until it's really, really crispy. Put it in a taco with a little bit of salsa verde and onions, and it is so good.
Wow.
Amazing. If you have a lot of drippings, you can even fry your tortillas in the drippings too.
Wow.
Like birria style. Dunk it in some gravy. Game over, right?
Mind blown. You've talked about setting intentions behind anything that you eat. What does Thanksgiving, as far as an emotional place, mean to you?
Having a meal is the most important thing to me. That's really where I feel like you can connect with anybody. I didn't have the closest relationship with a lot of people in my family because my family is very conservative and I'm less so. But the one place where we could all agree and have a good time and come together was around a meal. And that's why I think of Thanksgiving as a holiday that celebrates the meal, you know, more than anything else.
There's no gift giving. There's nothing.
There's no gifts. There's no religion. It's just, let's celebrate what it means to gather around the table. So that's why it's so important to me. Especially last year, we weren't able to celebrate with family. It was just me and my husband, but it was still great because we still set the table, sat down with all of that emotion, all of that intention. And it was still an amazing holiday. Because I think last year made me realize that we just take it for granted that we're all going to be able to gather around a table. And now it's not always guaranteed. I'm still not sure what our plans are for this year.
Huh? But we know it will include a spatchcock turkey.
Yes.
And honey thyme grape.
Definitely.
Sola, this has been spectacular. So nice sitting around talking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, please give Cooking Up a Storm a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to tell your friends and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Cooking Up a Storm with Al Roker is produced by Ursula Summer, Sharif Youssef, and Phoebe Curran, along with researcher Rachel Young and audio engineers Fernando Arruda and Bob Mallory. Our culinary team is led by Anthony Contrino and Carrie Parente, with Stevie Stewart and Dawn Miller. Original music by Tavon Pennicott. Bryson Barnes is our technical director. Minna Kathuria is our executive producer. Soraya Gage is our general manager. And Madeline Herringer, our head of editorial.
And then we can flip this over and get really nice, thick slices of dark meat as well.
See, I've never seen the dark meat sliced.
Why the hell not? Make it easier for your guests.
Yeah, it's all about the guests.
I usually just slice up half the turkey, one leg, one breast,
right,
and then try to save the rest for myself for later.
God.
You know what I mean? That's the trick.
price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.